Charles Wallace, holding Fort by the collar, looked at Calvin suspiciously.
"What do you mean?"
asked.
Calvin shrugged. "You still don't trust me, do you?"
"I don't distrust you,"
Charles Wallace said. "Do you want to tell me why you're here, then?"
"Fort and Meg and I decided to go for a walk. We often do in the afternoon."
Calvin dug his hands down in his pockets. "You're holding out on me."
"So are you,"
Charles Wallace said. "Okay, old sport," Calvin said. "I'll tell you this much. Sometimes I get a feeling about things. You might call it a compulsion. Do you know what compulsion means?"
"Constraint? Obligation? Because one is compelled.
Not a very good definition, but it's a concise Oxford."
Okay,
Calvin sighed. "I must remember I'm preconditioned in my concept of your mentality." Meg sat down on the coarse grass at the edge of the woods. Fort gently twisted his collar out of Charles Wallace's hands and came over to Meg, lying down beside her and putting his head in her lap. Calvin tried now politely to direct his words towards Meg as well as Charles Wallace.
"When I get this feeling, this compulsion, I always do what it tells me. I can't explain where it comes from or how I get it, and it doesn't happen very often. But I obey it. And this afternoon I had a feeling that I must come over to the haunted house."
"That's all I know, kid. I'm not holding anything back. Maybe it's because I'm supposed to meet you. You tell me."
Charles Wallace looked at Calvin probingly for a moment. Then an almost glazed look came into his eyes, and he seemed to be thinking at him. Calvin stood very still and waited. At last Charles Wallace said,
"Okay, I believe you. But I can't tell you. I think I'd like to trust you. Maybe you'd better come home with us and have dinner."
"Well, sure, but what would your mother say to that?" Calvin asked.
"She'd be delighted. Mother's all right. She's not one of us, but she's all right."
"What about Meg?"
"Meg has it tough," Charles Wallace said. "She's not really one thing or the other."
"What do you mean, one of us?" Meg demanded. "What do you mean I'm not one thing or the other?"
"Not now, Meg," Charles Wallace said. "Slowly. I'll tell you about it later."
He looked at Calvin, then seemed to make a quick decision.
"Okay, let's take him to meet Mrs. What's-it. If he's not okay, she'll know."
He started off on his short legs toward the dilapidated old house. The haunted house was half in the shadows of the clump of elms in which it stood. The elms were almost bare now, and the ground around the house was yellow with damp leaves. The late afternoon light had a greenish cast which the blank windows reflected in a sinister way. An unhinged shutter thumped. Something else creaked. Meg did not wonder that the house had a reputation for being haunted.
A board was nailed across the front door, but Charles Wallace led the way around to the back. The door there appeared to be nailed shut, too, but Charles Wallace knocked and the door swung slowly outward, creaking on rusty hinges. Up in one of the elms, an old black crow gave its raucous cry, and a woodpecker went into a wild rat-a-tat-tat. A large gray rat scuttled around the corner of the house, and Meg let out a stifled shriek. "They get a lot of fun out of using all the typical props," Charles Wallace said in a reassuring voice. "Come on, follow me." Calvin put a strong hand to Meg's elbow, and Fort pressed against her leg. Happiness at their concern was so strong in her that her panic fled, and she followed Charles Wallace into the dark recesses of the house without fear. They entered into a sort of kitchen. There was a huge fireplace with a big black pot hanging over a merry fire. Why had there been no smoke visible from the chimney?